Well, it's 2023. A lot of people would say, in our modern age, people have forgotten common sense and how to reason logically. Way back when I was in college, I had to take a philosophy course, a couple of them, and a course in logic. And they tried to teach me how to think logically. Don't know how well that worked. But I remember learning this thing called a syllogism. I know this is a little academic for this early in the morning. But a syllogism, you might not recognize it by its name, but it's three lines, kind of like a haiku. And it is a way of analyzing a thread of thought to see if it makes logical sense. For example, and some of them are true and some of them are false, but a true syllogism would be something like, all men are mortal. First premise, major premise. All men are mortal. Second premise, minor premise. Socrates is a man. And then the conclusion, ergo, therefore, Socrates is mortal. Makes sense, right? All men are mortal. Socrates is a man. Socrates, ergo, is mortal. False syllogism. First premise, major premise. All fish are mortal. Second premise, minor premise. Socrates is mortal. Ergo, Socrates is a fish. Hey, wait a second. That don't seem right, no how. That's a false syllogism. And there's ways you analyze it and you dissect it to see where you went wrong, but it's a way of thinking logically, and you say, well, people are making all kinds of logical mistakes these days, or people reason in crazy ways, but you know, there's nothing new under the sun, because when we talk about Mary as the mother of God, we go back to the early 4th century for a colossal battle within the church as to whether or not she could be called the mother of God. And I mean, we take that for granted. We say, well, you know, she's always been the mother of God. Well, for 3 centuries, nobody who was a Christian questioned that. They called Mary the mother of God. But then a so-called intelligent churchman, a priest named Nestorius, who you might as well call Notorious, he just could not accept that title. He said, no mere human being could have the title and the privilege of being the mother of God. So he would only call Mary the mother of Jesus. But if you apply logical thinking to Nestorius's train of thought, you see where he makes his error. And he's making it because he just doesn't believe that God loves us that much, that he would become one of us. But on the premise that Jesus is God, now people will argue that, but if you're a Christian, there is no arguing. If you look at Scripture, you look at everything the church has consistently taught, there is no questioning that premise if we're going to believe what we've always believed. So, Jesus is God. Mary is the mother of Jesus. Ergo, Mary is the mother of God. A true syllogism. And a logical way of coming to the determination that, yes, God loves us that much. And that is the point. Nestorius couldn't believe it, but we'd better believe it. That's why he condescended to come down and empty himself of his heavenly glory and become a helpless babe in a manger who pooped his diapers, let's say it, and relied on a human woman, a mother, and I'd like to think Joseph took his turn too, human parents to care for him, to clean him up, so that we could look at our God and say, at any given time in our lives, no matter what we're going through, that we absolutely know that he understands what we're going through, because he came down, became one of us, so that we would know that he can look at us and say, yeah, I've been there. I know. He experienced everything that we experienced, the good and the bad, except he never sinned. And we celebrate these feasts of the Incarnation throughout the Christmas season. Christmas, Mary, Mother of God, Holy Family, the Epiphany, the Baptism of the Lord. As we go through the rest of this beautiful Christmas season, we relish in the fact that Jesus, Father, Spirit, the Trinity, loves us so much that he loves us so much that he experienced everything that we experience and more, except he did not sin, because he wants us to know the depths of his love for us. Now let's transition back a little bit to New Year's resolutions. It's connected, trust me. But again, how many people here made New Year's resolutions? Yeah, that's consistent with the statistics that I looked up that are in the bulletin. I've made one. I'm going to put it out there, because that's one way you can keep it better, is if you actually ante up and make it public. 2023 is the year that I get punctual. Did I not start Mass on time? I said to the deacon in the sacristy, I got to start Mass on time today at least. I'm going to talk about my New Year's resolution. We started on time. We started on time yesterday. Off to a running start. But less than half the people in the world make New Year's resolutions, because they say, I'm going to fail. They don't want to set themselves up for failure. And if I've got my other statistics remembered correctly, out of the half of the people who make them, about less than half, and it's really only about 40% of the people who make them, and out of that 40%, about 40% of those actually fail within the first few weeks. And about 25% fail within the first week. And I guess only about 12 to 15% really actually at the end of the year say, I made it, I did it. I used to argue with my dad about New Year's resolutions. He didn't believe in them at all. January 1st, it's just another day, kid. You can get up any day and say, I'm going to better myself. Well, that's true, and I agree with that. And that's one of the points I'm trying to make. You start off on January 1st, even if I was late today for Mass, I would want to get back on that horse and try, with the grace of God, throughout the year, to improve and become a better version of myself. And I love a new year, because it's such a beautiful, clean slate. Psychologically and spiritually, I think God builds on that we have, you know? Clean the slate, clear the decks, let's start again. He gives us all these opportunities during the year, with Lent, too. It's that we can make the beginning of the year kind of like another Lent. And prayerfully, and that's the secret. You know, I think out of all the people who fail, I would ask two questions before you made your resolutions, before we made our resolutions. Number one, did you ask God if it was his will for us? So I really believe if we're prayerfully asking God, what is it that you want me to do to grow in virtue and to not do anymore, to eliminate vice, what is your plan for me, Lord? And second, are we asking him every day of the year, every day of our lives, for the grace to do it? And I would contend, if we're doing those things, and I wrote about this in the bulletin, prayers, you know, that we can use to ask for that fresh grace every day to get back on a horse if you should stumble. And especially with all the gifts that he gives us to succeed, I love the fact that Mary, Mother of God, is January 1st celebration every year, because the gift of Mary, our mother, asking for her intercession so that we can succeed and become the best version of ourselves. If we haven't prayed the rosary and we've been wanting to pick up those beads, let's resolve to do that. Learn some more Marian prayers. Seek out the intercession of Mary and all the saints and our angels. And if we do that, then 2023 is going to be a beautiful, successful year in which we've grown in holiness and become a better version of ourselves. Ergo, closer to Jesus, closer to Mary, closer to one another, and closer to heaven. Happy New Year. God love you.